to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery, leadership revolution, and life success. Learn something new from our mentoring conversation today.
Nancy, I just think you do a phenomenal job. I mean, you really are really listening to what I'm saying, and you're really finding the connections and kind of weaving everything together to really have a more powerful message for your audience. And I'll be honest, you actually helped me learn about myself through this as well. So no, it was a very powerful conversation with you. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. If it's Monday, guess what? It's We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. So We Mentor, along with donations and sponsors from leaders like you, fund this podcast. As you know, We Mentor is an innovative mentoring community I founded in 1992, where small business owners build seven-figure businesses and become the leaders they envision themselves to be. They reveal who they are and connect with their inner selves as they redesign and keep building their business. You can get involved today if you would like. If you aren't already subscribed to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy weekly podcast, you can at WeMentor.com and just click on my face with the subscribe here button and just give the brief information and you're good to go. These mentoring conversations that we have on air are an extension of how we mentor a wider audience. You can get one-on-one mentoring in person or online through Zoom or Skype. You can attend a mini lab like one we just had on June 19th, or you can join our We Mentor Entrepreneurial Leadership and Mentoring Labs to dive deeper into your life work with peers who become your support team, resources, and very valuable assets to your business leadership growth. Okay, today over Skype, we are having a mentoring conversation with Dr. Daniel Libby. Hi.
Hi.
How are you, Daniel?
I am doing okay. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good, too. So Dan is the founder and executive director of Veterans Yoga Project. He's a licensed clinical psychologist and yoga teacher specializing in the mindful integration of evidence-based psychotherapies and complementary and alternative medicine practices for the treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder and other psychological and emotional distress in active duty military and veterans. You're doing very important work. You and I met when you brought your Veterans Yoga Project to the Twin Cities and had a whole weekend of training for yoga teachers. I wasn't in the training, but I was in your evening kickoff yoga class. It was a great experience. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on my show, on your show. And yeah, that was a fundraising class. We are a national organization, but we haven't traditionally had a lot of activity in the Twin Cities area. And so we just did another training there, and I'm excited to be able to work with some of the veterans in that area.
Yeah, well, terrific. It's a much-needed area. And as we do with all of our guests, thank you for being here. We check in with each other emotionally. We like to increase the emotional literacy and help people get comfortable with talking about their feelings. And so we do it on air. Oh. So how are you feeling?
I would love to be able to paint a picture of sunshine and rainbows, but in truth, if you're going to ask me how I'm feeling at the moment, I'm a little overwhelmed and anxious, partly because, hey, I'm on a radio podcast, but just the chaos of a Monday. It's interesting that you do your podcast on Mondays, because I've spent this day frazzled. I'm dealing with all the Monday issues. And running a big organization for someone like myself, who's not necessarily a business person, makes it so that I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed today.
Okay. Well, I can appreciate that. And you are not alone. 99.9% of our audience is very similar to you in launching something into the world that is very difficult to build with the passion behind it to help others. Not necessarily, and learning the business skills on the sly, on the fly, not the sly, but the fly. So I appreciate your degree of overwhelm and anxiousness. I think too, for me, that comes on a, it's not uncommon for it to accompany a Monday. It seems like there's a lot to get done in a short time to kind of get everything going.
That is true. And yet, then for me, and this is why I sort of love your podcast and part of what you do is, for me, that being overwhelmed, the challenges of life, the ordinary and extraordinary challenges of life are always going to be there. And especially if you're running a business, if you're an entrepreneur, you're calling those challenges into your life. And so part of what the Veterans Yoga Project is about and part of my challenge of developing into a leader is coming back to the practices, coming back to the breathing, the mindfulness, the tools that we teach as Veterans Yoga Project, but the tools that many of the successful leaders in our world use to be able to be effective and efficient and successful in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I was also very excited to talk to you today because I just feel like you are doing incredible work, and I think the degree of risk-taking that you're doing to be a national organization takes a lot of coordination and a lot of resources, and I'm just really impressed by how you're pulling everything together. And you've got a great website presence, and it's organized really, really well. It's not the reality behind
that,
the
Nancy,
scenes.
That is the nicest thing you actually could say, because I think this is what happens is sometimes we lose sight of how it's always interesting to look at how people outside the organization view the organization and what is the impact we're actually having in the world. Because again, right, as an entrepreneur, as the person who's running the ship, I'm fielding problems all day long, and I'm dealing with issues, difficulties. And so I very much appreciate those words. And I think it's important for all of us, right, and probably for many of your listeners to remember that, is that in the midst of the chaos, there is, at the end of the day, and this is what I love, we have these monthly reports where we actually collect the data on how many veterans we're serving, on their pain scores, on their distress scores, and their testimonials. And to be able to find ways, I think, in your business to feed back to yourself, oh yeah, this is why I'm doing it. You know, not just the paycheck. Paycheck is nice, but right, the idea of like, what are you doing for the world and what good are you doing? And so that's one of the things that helps me maintain.
Yeah, a reminder, because you are making a lot of sacrifices that aren't involved with generating money. I mean, they're generating money, but I mean, it's outside of the paycheck. There's a lot of other responsibilities that are involved with running a business and an organization that's larger, well, any size really, and coordinating things. And so having some statistics that you're tracking to validate the work that you're doing so you can see what results you're making in the world is really critical to the success of your venture. And also, like you're saying, to reinforce at moments when you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed, oh yeah, this is why we're doing this.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, when you talk about leadership, I think the opposite of leadership, I mean, we all have the potential to be leaders. And if you're running a business, you are a leader. And the opposite of that is burnout. And one of the key symptoms of burnout, and we're actually working on this compassion fatigue, burnout, continuing education online course. But one of the symptoms of burnout is feeling like what you're doing is ineffective. So not realizing or just sort of saying, oh yeah, great, you know, that happened, but you know, and just sort of having this view that what you're doing isn't impactful anymore. And so the more that we can celebrate our wins, right, and not necessarily be dependent on our wins, but certainly as a nonprofit organization, when I hear a veteran come back and say, yeah, you know what, I was on the verge of suicide and I've been using these tools to help me get back to a place of, you know, mission and purpose and post-traumatic growth. I mean, those kind of stories, like, they are, those are the wins that we have to celebrate.
Yes, exactly. I, over the weekend, and my husband Matthew and our 16-year-old daughter Olivia, we went and had a picnic with my dad, who's 83, and a dairy farmer, and sold the farm a number of years ago, bought a piece, several pieces of land, and has had a dream for over 40 years to build a cabin in the woods. And so at 83, he realized his goal. And so over the weekend, we drove up. It was about a 2-hour drive from their house. And it is a cabin that's very secluded in the woods. And he built it. And so we had a picnic inside the cabin. And he was like so shocked. He got very teary-eyed. And I said, you work so hard all your life, and we've never really had like the celebrations for when we reach a goal. We just never have. And so we just decided that I was going to do that because I just felt like that was so huge for him to, like, before I die, I'm getting this cabin in the woods built. So
absolutely celebrate your wins. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's exactly what we did, and you, it's just funny that you mentioned that because it was such a big moment that I think that that's a really big message to everybody. We need to make sure that we're celebrating our wins. Very good. Well, we would like to get to know you a little bit better. Like, where'd you grow up? I know that you're located in Alameda, California?
Yes, I have been in Alameda, California for about 4 years now. And Alameda is this beautiful little town right between Oakland and San Francisco in the Bay Area of California. Yet I was born and raised in Queens Village, New York. I'm an East Coast kid who, I guess, discovered that the West Coast is the best coast. And so I spent my childhood in New York and then spent time living in Florida and Montana and Washington State and have traveled around. Sort of the more significant point in my life where I started finding direction, right? I feel like I've traveled right around looking for direction in my life, was when I landed at the Feathered Pipe Ranch out in Helena, Montana. And at that point, I was living in Florida and as a physical therapy assistant or physical therapy aide, and was sort of doing what young people do and drinking a lot and just, cavorting around and whatever. And when I landed at the Feathered Pipe, I started to find my direction in the world. And it was shortly thereafter that I wound up becoming a massage therapist and started getting into the field of healing and healing work. And then it was, many years later that now I've lived to, here in California. So I guess I've been around to a lot of places. And now that I've, arrived here, I feel like I'm in a pretty wonderful place. I live in Northern California with my wife and my 6-year-old daughter. Yeah. And that's the best part of my life. And I have a beautiful family that I get to spend a lot of time with. So that's sort of me on sort of the personal angle.
Sure. And how big of a family did you grow up in?
I grew up with my brother and I, sort of latchkey kids in Queens Village, New York. And my mom had a really wonderful, supportive family. So we spent a lot of time with, my grandparents and aunts and my cousins. And now my brother and his family still live in New York. And actually, my daughter and I just came back from vacation there. And we're about to go back out to the East Coast again to have another little bit of a family reunion. So to me, family is very important. And one of the things that, honestly, I miss being out here on the West Coast.
Ah, so that's when you know you really are at home.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. When you're traveling, mm-hmm. you just can't wait to get back home.
Yeah.
Well, that's a beautiful thing. So, I'm surprised that you were a massage therapist, just because that's not a normal route, you know, a psychologist goes.
And that was really my introduction. Like I said, when I was maybe 19 or so, I wound up going to this retreat center out in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains in Helena, Montana, called the Feathered Pipe Ranch. And that's where I first was really introduced to healing and body work and maybe alternative or integrative forms of medicine.
Oh, sure.
And up until that point, I had been a physical therapy aide, like I mentioned, in Florida. And so I had sort of had some little background in sort of the Western biomedical view. And by getting exposed to all of these other different cultures and ways of dealing with the body and the mind and the soul, I was sparked. And that's what really led me to then become a body worker and to work with the body on healing not only physical ailments, but certainly the body, mind, and soul are all integrated. And so what happened was I was spending these years working at the Feathered Pipe Ranch and working at other places on people's bodies, and a lot of psycho-emotional content would come up. And so I went to then study psychology, and I became a clinical psychologist. And now that I've become a clinical psychologist, I'm trying to interweave that body and mind education. Oh. And at the same time, bringing in the soul and the spirit, and also entrepreneurship and business, and how do you integrate all of these things in a way that I can lead a life that I'm happy with, that I'm really doing excellent good in the world, by honoring, the body, the mind, and the spirit. And there are ways to work with all three of those to be able to bring healing and to bring people from post-traumatic stress to post-traumatic growth, to create the conditions for people to live in line with their values and goals.
Yeah, I think you've done it beautifully. You've kind of collectively sewn together a really strong focus for your life path, you know, putting together all your interests. With all the veterans that you work with, do you have some experience in the military?
I don't. I have zero experience in the military. I never had any interest in working in the military. I've always had an interest in trauma and, again, that body-mind connection. So when I went through graduate school for clinical psychology, I did study psychophysiology and understanding how does trauma affect the body. And so when I did a postdoctoral fellowship, I went to Yale University in the West Haven VA, and that was my first introduction to working with military veterans. And quickly, it became clear to me that this was a population that that I really enjoyed working with. These are men and women who have a certain set of core values that I really just enjoy working with, and have a resilience. These are men and women who have dealt with the worst of the worst in life, and they have such a strength and resilience that I learn from and that I gain from. So working with that is sort of where it kind of came from. Just recently, I dug in a little deeper to my family roots in the military. And again, my grandfather, he served, I believe, in World War II and in the Korean War. My uncle Jimmy, it turned out, and this is where I just did a little digging and found out a little about him. He actually was killed in an accident while serving in the Air Force. He had signed up, but I guess had only been in the Air Force for about 7 months. And it was sometime in Wyoming where he was involved in an accident. Even though I don't think that consciously played a role in where my career interests led, on some level, you know, the fact that my mom's little brother was killed, you know, as a 19-year-old, and that my grandparents' son was killed, I feel and I notice and I can see now how that traumatic event affected my family.
Oh, and subsequently
me.
Yeah.
And so it all sort of comes full circle a little bit. And, you know, we just had our Memorial Day, which is one of our big campaigns and fundraisers for the year. And to be able to honor my Uncle Jimmy, who I don't even remember, I was 4 years old when he passed, was a really, it was meaningful to me.
Yeah.
To be able to learn a little bit about him and to be able to honor him in that way. But so that's really my extent of my experience in the military, but I'm not a veteran myself. No.
Oh, well, that's awesome that you're able to put this together for veterans. I was thinking, yeah, I could never teach yoga to veterans because I don't have, you know, military background. But it's nice to know, even though that's like small-minded thinking, because yoga, you can do with any population. But I just kept thinking about how important it might be for the other people in the class, all the veterans, to have a yoga teacher that would have that experience. But not necessarily, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and I think, Nancy, I think what you're picking up on is that there is a brotherhood and sisterhood among military veterans and families that I will never understand, that I will never be a part of, and that there is this special bond among those who have served in the armed forces.
Yeah.
And the truth is that yoga is something that is stereotyped, that is just stereotyped, right? It's for the super flexible young people in the skinny tights on the cover of the magazine or whatever. And the truth is that when we understand what yoga really is, right? It's this system for mind, body, excellence, for self-mastery, for leadership. That message comes across a little bit easier sometimes from another veteran, if you're talking to a veteran. And that is definitely true, especially if you're dealing with somebody who's dealing with post-traumatic stress or some significant scars of war, who are going to be maybe a little less, even less trustworthy of someone who they don't feel that bond with. There's definitely a certain value. On the other hand, people are just people, and veterans are just people. And these tools that we teach are, it's breathing, it's meditation, it's moving your body, it's resting your mind and body. These are basic things that all of us as human beings need to be excellent.
Yeah.
These are the things that we can use. These are tools at our disposal all the time to make us more excellent and to be better at whatever it is that we want to do. And so, so I wouldn't say it's small-minded at all. It's a thing that's there, right? There is that brotherhood, sisterhood that we want to honor that maybe you or I might not, you know, be a part of, but don't let that impede our ability to make a positive difference in the world for veterans and their families and our communities.
Yeah. Yes. And, the part of too, I mean, you're bringing people together, right? The veterans together. So facilitating their connection makes you part of the group. So I will rethink that thought. Yeah, because I think we all sort through different limitations that might keep us from doing something that we might feel is really important to kind of explore a little bit further.
And isn't that just representative of who we are as human beings? We put all these limitations on ourselves. And I would tell you that there is no limitation to your ability to support military veterans and their families, right? That's my particular cause. That's who I think, you know, I think these are the men and women who are going to help lead us through all the other challenges that we face in our communities and our country and our world.
Yeah.
And so this is the sort of population that I work with. Because they already have the skills, they already have the dedication, they've already committed themselves to public service. And so I would say that for everybody, the more that we can interact and support this community, the more we're supporting ourselves and our, you know, in our own communities. because again, you don't have to be a military veteran, a part of that community, to one, acknowledge and be grateful that whatever you do right now, if you're a business owner, you're listening to this podcast, the only reason you can do it is because there are people out there who are suffering from post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injury and all these other things, you know, to protect our freedom to do so. And that we can very easily support that, right? And there's lots of ways to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, to finish out this session, what I would like to do is, if you're up for it, is to have another conversation and to kind of talk more about how you started this nonprofit and kind of the shape that it took. Because you started it in what year, 2014?
No, actually, we started in 2010, but it wasn't really intended to start anything. We started doing these activities in 2010. In 2014 is when we finally got our 501c3 status and all of a sudden became an organization. So it's been a long road.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Well, we will talk about that in our next episode. Are you up for it?
I'm up for it.
Okay, excellent. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I think, is there anything else you wanted to say? We were talking about the commonalities that we all have as leaders just before we went on the air about compassion, having compassion in the right way and kind of dealing with fatigue and burnout. And you talked a little bit during our episode about your online class, Addressing Burnout. Is there anything else you wanted to say about compassion and fatigue and burnout?
Well, I have a lot to say about compassion and compassion fatigue and burnout. If we're just trying to maybe close out this particular podcast, what I would say is that it's important for us to recognize, right, our own signs and symptoms of compassion fatigue, and there are definitely ways to do that, but that there are very simple tools, and that if each person who is listening to this podcast just right now took a slow, deep inhale through the nose.
I'm with you on that.
And an even slower, deeper, longer exhale through the nose. All right, so measure that exhale, and let's just do two more just for fun. Inhale through the nose. And then really slow down that exhale through the nose. Make your exhale twice as long as your inhale. Maybe one more. And then you don't even have to stop doing that, right? You can continue to do that. And just know that there are tools like this where you can just start to extend your exhale that actually changes your nervous system. It changes the neural platform from which all of your behaviors arise so that you can be a better leader, so that you can be able to manage all of those heavy burdens of compassion fatigue, of burnout, of too much to do and too many demands and too many expectations and your own feeling of overwhelmness, right, by using some tools in the moment. And one of the simplest ones is just inhaling and then extending your exhale even longer than your inhale, pressing your feet into the ground, letting your spine be tall. That we can create the conditions for success.
Yes. It's a great way to end this episode and also to relieve any overwhelm or anxiousness that we felt at the beginning of the program. Great. Well, Dr. Daniel Libby, thank you for sharing your gifts with us today and some of your life experiences. And we'll be excited. I'm excited for our next conversation.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Mike Cabeas, sound engineer, photographer, videographer, mon frère, brother from another mother. All right. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you all next week. Happy Monday.